I wonder if there's ever stuff in the Bible that bugs you. Anything ever bug you in the Bible? Some stuff in there, like this verse we started with today in our scripture reading. If you read it in the King James Version, it really bugs me. I don't know about you, but it does me. Take a look at it, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Reading from the King James Version, but ye are a what? Chosen generation. I like that. That's cool. I'm good with that, huh? A royal priesthood. That sounds all right. What do you think? Good with that? And holy nation. All right. But it's this next one that really, you know, I don't know. A peculiar people. Peculiar? Huh? Come on, seriously? A peculiar people? Peculiar, that's... Peculiar is not a word I'm particularly fond of, you know? I think of it as a word that my future father-in-law probably used as I was dating my wife, and he turned to his wife and said, "Marge, I'm worried about our daughter. That boy's peculiar." That's what I think of when I think of peculiar. I don't know about you, you know? So that's what worries me. And yet, peculiar people. That phrase, peculiar people, if you look at the Ellen White database, that phrase, peculiar people, shows up 679 times. 679 times, peculiar people pops up. There are people in our world who think we're pretty peculiar. You know? You go to the restaurant, going for breakfast. I'll have the omelet, but can I substitute potatoes for the bacon? What? What is the matter with you? That's the best part. Peculiar, isn't it? Oh, yeah, well, I guess you'll go to church this Sunday. No, I'll go on Saturday. You'll what? You'll go when? What's that all about? And there are some people who think we're pretty peculiar. You know, when we lay people to rest, we really lay them to rest. Right? We're just sort of peculiar like that. And why? Why do we go through all of this anyway? Why do we go through all of this peculiarity? Why are we peculiar? Why can't we just be normal? Right? Why? I want to begin thinking about these things over the next couple of weeks and understand where we are, why we are, who we are, and how we do it all. So I want to think about these things, and I want to begin in this verse. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and depending on which version you are in, a peculiar people. A peculiar people. So, what's with this peculiar word anyway? What is that all about? Our thinking about it today of meaning something a little bit odd or maybe eccentric, That's what we use in conversation today, but that's not what it meant in 1611. Anybody know what 1611 was? Before your time, yes, that would be true. And if it was before your time, it doesn't matter, right? 1611 was the year that, the King James Bible was published. Therefore, the year that word peculiar dropped into the scriptures, meaning God's people, God's peculiar people. And so it didn't have the same meaning. It comes from a Latin root that has the idea of possession. Possession. What God possessed. His very own. His acquired. The ones that he bought. Let's see, isn't there a verse like that? Bought with a price, right? You're not your own. I think 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you were bought with a price, right? So we are God's holy possession. It's something that tells about his own property. And in fact, in our scripture reading this morning, it said, very own possession. And you read most of the versions today, and they get rid of that word peculiar because, well, it's kind of peculiar. So, and so we've done away with that word because it's come to mean something else today, right? And so today you'll find translations talking about his own possession or his very own possession or the ones that were acquired or his special treasure, his chosen treasure. That's right. That's right. Those 679 times that comes up in the Ellen White database, almost always when it's not quoting a verse, it's talking about God with some possessive form, like God's peculiar people or his peculiar people or the chosen of God. His peculiar people. And so somewhere in there, she also understands that it's that we belong to God, that we are not our own. We were bought with a price. We are God's own people. I want you to think about something for a minute. How hard is it for you to find my phone number? Look in your phone for many of you, right? You got me on speed dial, so you know who to yell at, right? Amen. Amen. All right. Or where else might you find it? Bulletin, right? Or in our... In the Bible. My phone number's in the Bible. Awesome. You might find it in our church directory, right? Yeah, there's lots of places to find my phone number. Do you know that when President Obama was elected, the Secret Service wanted to take his BlackBerry away from him, right? Because of security, this and that and the other thing, right? And he's like, not on your life. Boy, what if you could get his phone number, huh? What if you could get the president's own phone number? Not just some peasant like me, but the president. You could get his phone number. Dial him up. Pew, 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 pew. Hey, Barack, got an idea for you. That'd be pretty wild, wouldn't it? Yeah, he would look at my number and go, uh-uh. No way. Not answering that one. It's his own phone number, not just like the White House. You can go on the website and get, the White House phone number. Call the president. Yeah, right. The chance of you getting to talk with him is just about zero, right? And so, if you had his cell phone number, though, man, you'd have it straight in there, right? You could call the president, his own phone number. What about God? What if we had God's phone number? His own phone number? Huh? Yes. That's pretty special. You have a direct line to the throne of heaven. Right? And did you know that God has a special people? His own people. Like the president doesn't own a fruit phone. Right? You know, fruit phone, right? Apple. Fruit phone. And he doesn't own an Android either. His chosen phone is a BlackBerry. That's what he wanted. His own phone. BlackBerry. Not Apple. Not Android. None of the others. It's a BlackBerry. He chose that. God chose you. God himself looked around at all the Androids and all the Apples, and he said, I want the BlackBerry. That's pretty good. You're the BlackBerry of the universe. Okay, maybe that doesn't hold up well, but you get the point. Right? God chose you. Above all the people of the earth, he has chosen you, called you. He has put his spirit on you and called you his own people. You see, Peter here was borrowing from way back. You remember there was a prophet who was told to name his kid something really weird. Do you remember? He was told to name his kid. Can you imagine? Hi, I'd like to introduce you to my daughter, and her name is Not My People. What? Can you imagine? That'd be a silly name, wouldn't it? Can you imagine? But that's what God did. God told the prophet, name your child Not My People. Whoa. And so Peter borrows from that. Peter borrows from that and he says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Not just ordinary, you're extraordinary. You are God's own. Chosen my people, he says, mine. I bought you with a price. All of those promises that were given to Israel, Peter is ascribing to the people of God right here in Lakeland. He's calling us the people chosen by God, his special treasure. His special treasure. What's the likelihood of you getting anywhere near the crown jewels of England? Any likelihood of that? How come? What are you going to do? Steal it? What would you do with it if you did? It's like, hey, want to buy a crown? You're not going to pawn this thing down there at the local shop, are you? Right? But they aren't going to let you near that because it's the crown jewels. You are the crown jewels of God's. Think about that. He could have chosen angels, you know, who had never sinned. Some other world that loved him since they were created. And they've loved God ever since. Never strayed, never went away. But God said, no, no, you are my special treasure. Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen these people with phones, you know? It's like, hey, let me show you my phone. It's really cool. I have an Android. Who's got a BlackBerry? Come on. Who's got a Black? Steve, let me see your Black. Oh, you don't. Oh. You don't have it with you. But I need a BlackBerry. BlackBerry is it, right? I got a BlackBerry. Yeah. BlackBerry. Sweet. That's a special phone, right? You've got to have one that was chosen. The chosen phone. We want to talk about it. We want to show it off. If you are God's special treasure, God wants to show you off. God wants people to see you. Hey, look at this. This is so cool. That's how it works, right? When you have a BlackBerry, isn't it? You got to show everybody. That's it. Some people really get into this stuff. Exodus chapter 19. Verse 5 says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people." Above all people. "For all the earth is mine." So not just do we belong to God, because all the earth belongs to God, right? But he has elevated us to make us his special people, his special treasure above all the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, "For you are a holy people." Who was he talking to? Who was he talking to? The Jews, right? The Israelites. And now Peter has taken that and turned it to mean you and I. We are God's holy people. "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen." Chosen. The president could have had, think about this. The president could have had any phone. Any phone. Do you know there is a Prada phone? Yes, it's a true story. Prada phone. Yeah. And they don't measure the cost in tens of dollars. You don't get it free with a 2-year contract. Right? In fact, even on the contract, it's not $100 or $200 or $500. It's measured in thousands. Thousands of dollars. Yeah. Oh, won't I look good pulling that bad boy out? You can hear it when you pull it out. Right? And then when the sun catches it just right, you can hear it. Ding! As it sparkles off the corner of the phone, right? Yeah. And so, wouldn't that be slick? No, I got an old Samsung. It works. It still rings now and then. The president could have had any phone he wanted, but he chose BlackBerry. He chose BlackBerry. He didn't eeny, meeny, miny, mo and end up with a BlackBerry. He chose a BlackBerry. Is this beginning to sound like an ad for BlackBerry?
Yeah.
No, it's an ad for God's people. It's telling you how special you are, how much God values you. It's telling you that God loves you above all the people of the earth, beyond everything that's here. He would give up this whole ball of dirt for you, just for you. You're that special to him. In fact, he would give up all heaven for you. In fact, seems to me, he did. Wow. You are a chosen people. God's own people. Malachi chapter 3, verse 17. They shall be mine, says the Lord of God, the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. Oh, yeah. My special treasure, God says. How many of you have ever tasted ivory soap? Any of you ever tasted ivory soap? I'm not going to ask you what conditions were that you tasted ivory soap. I could ask your mother, maybe. Yeah. I grew up in a half and half house. My mother was a Methodist. My father had a different religion. It was called construction worker. Now, each of them had their own special jargon, you know, saved by the blood of the Lamb and other stuff on the other side. And growing up, I learned both. But I learned what not to say around my mother. And it was often at the end of a bar of ivory soap. Yeah, exactly. And these words often accompanied that bar of soap. She would come up with that bar of soap and she would say, "We don't say things like that." Too vigorously. No, she didn't say too vigorously, but there were things that you did not do in my family. That was it. When mom was there, it did not happen. End of story. You did not do that in our family. Brothers and sisters, let that soak in for a second. Are we a family? Yes. There are things we don't do in our family. That should have gotten a bigger amen than that. Amen. Thank you. There are things we just don't do in our family because we are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We are God's special treasure. We don't do some things. We are a peculiar people, his own people. We're different. We're special. We don't do the things that are done in the world because we belong to God. We're in his family. We have a heavenly father and a divine elder brother. We don't do those things. We are a special people. I grew up really confused because I heard that in this family, we don't say these things. And yet when mom wasn't around, boy, did I hear some of those things. I don't get it. What's the deal? I've heard that in this family, we don't do certain things. But I wonder if the pastor wasn't around, does that make a difference? We are members of the family of God. We are God's special people. There are things we don't do because of who we are, where we live, and who we're with. God's saying, in our family, we don't do that. We aren't that kind of family. We don't do those things. We are children of the King. Let that sink in. We're children of the King. And you're thinking, I'm waiting for that crown, brother, anytime. You know? I'm waiting for the big mansion, you know, the castle to live in and the servants and all that stuff, right? But does that mean that we're not going to act like the King's kids until we get there? Is that the idea? We are children of the King. We're God's chosen generation. And how much truer is that than today since 1844? How much truer can it get than this generation who's sitting here before me now? You are a chosen generation. How many generations have come and gone since our first father, Adam? How many? Hundreds, huh? Gobs and gobs of them. And yet there is a generation that was spoken of who is to carry a message to the world, a message so special it's represented by angels, a chosen generation. How many of them are talked about like that? Given a message of such import. How many? You are a chosen generation, this generation, right here, right now. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. How many priests back in Moses' time were drinking alcohol? Ask the ashes of Nadab and Abihu. Not too many after that. A royal priesthood. We're special. We're set apart for a special purpose. We are a peculiar people, God's own treasure, His special possession. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Can you be a holy nation in an unholy world? God seems to think so because He's called us to that. He has told us that's who we need to be. If He calls us, He will enable us. Yes? God has called us to be children of the King, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We will live like children of the King. We will live like a chosen generation. We will live like a royal priesthood. We will live like a holy nation. Because that's who we are. God's people. I want to give you an opportunity just now. To consider your lifestyle. We talked about it a little bit in Sabbath school. And without saying it, I've talked about it all this time, huh? A chosen nation. a royal priesthood. Is my life reflecting who I am in Christ Jesus? Is that being reflected? Can people know that I'm a child of the King? Because I live like that. I act like that. I talk like that. The words that come out of my mouth sound like I could take and just walk straight onto the streets of gold. The actions I do are actions I wouldn't mind taking to my heavenly mansion. The things I watch are things I wouldn't mind watching. On my heavenly TV. That's it. Am I living like God's special people? I know everyone makes their mistakes. I'm not talking about the occasional deed or misdeed, but the trend of the life. Anybody ever heard that before? The occasional deed or misdeed is not, but the trend of the life, right? You know what I'm talking about? Are you a child of the King? Are you a peculiar people? Woo, it's awesome. Our closing hymn as we stand is not 468. Take a look at 468 with me for a moment. Stand up. Take a look at 468. You might think after this sermon, I might choose 468. I might. But that's not our hymn for the day. Why? Why is that not our hymn for the day? That is not our hymn for the day because it reminds us of houses and lands. It reminds us of rubies and diamonds, robes and crowns. Woohoo! I'm excited about those things. But that's not what I want to make you be a child of the King. That's not what I want you to use as your inducement to be a child of the King. I want you to be a child of the King because you love Jesus. Because you know who you are. Whether you have the houses and lands right now, whether the diamonds and rubies are spilling out of your pockets and you laugh and leave them there. I don't care about those things. I want you as a child of the King because you are here and now regardless. And you love Jesus beyond the shadow of a doubt, even if you look down and you don't see robes and you look up and don't yet see a crown. And so we're still in this world. We're still working with Jesus. We're still working in this world. Number 582. 582.